Okay, hi, I'm going to talk a bit about S-Dubs today, which is a project that, well, basically it is about optical mark recognition mostly. You may have seen the pieces of paper in the bag that you had, which is a small survey that they're doing here. And they're using a software which is non-free, which actually used by a lot of universities throughout Germany. And what we had, why we started actually S-Dubs, is that we needed to read out exactly these forms at the university. So SDAPS, which is an acronym, I'm not going to spell it out, but probably doesn't make much sense. It's really just an optical mark recognition. It's only about recognizing which checkboxes are marked by the user and then figuring that out and getting all the data out from the scans that you have done. However, to a large extent, the problem there is to the questionnaire design. You want to design the questionnaire in a way that is easy for the user. You want to quickly create something like this. And you don't want to, I don't know, I've seen tools where you create the questionnaire somewhere else, and then you import it, then you mark the regions that need to be recognized. And in my opinion, that's not very useful. So what SDAPS does is that you create the questionnaire in LaTeX, and all the metadata that is required is exported into a file, which is then picked up later on and can be analyzed by the program. In general, it's a Python program with just about 10K lines, so it's relatively small overall. And it's designed in a way that is extensible so that you could create own plugins and commands that build on top of the internal data model that it has. Mostly it's a command line utility. The only point where the user interface comes into play is for doing manual error correction, because that's where you need a user interface, and the rest of it is very much designed to be scriptable. So we started the project back in 2008, actually, when in Karlsruhe at the university, it was still the University of Karlsruhe at the time, today it's the Karlsruhe Institute of Technology, it was decided that the evaluation would go into the be centralized, and we weren't quite happy with the bylaws that were in place at the time. So what we decided at the Faculty of Electrical Engineering is that we would boycott the evaluation at the university. Now, we had an issue because at the same time there was the change to bachelor master system here in Germany going on, and we really didn't want to lose the data that was coming in, especially for the lower for semesters, bachelors, if there were any changes. So we had to actually use the do the data analysis ourselves. What we ended up doing is that we created a tool which read out these forms in a pretty quick hack, like over the Christmas holidays, and then ended up actually evaluating most of the. Let's remove the cell phone. This would help. Most of the lectures at the faculty were using our tool in cooperation with the faculty itself. So that worked very, very well. And after that, we realized that we could create such a tool. But obviously, we were using the original forms that time. So we needed a way of also creating the form and not only reading it in. And we first decided to use OpenOffice for that, and later LibreOffice, and then even later created the LaTeX support, which is now basically the main part of doing it. So since then, people have tried... Oh, sorry. Probably should have... Since let's do this first. Since then, people have used it for a lot of different things, or even tried to use it for different things. So this is a survey that is being used in the UK by a company called GP Tools, and they offer some services there for doctors who need to do a yearly evaluation of their office for the NHS. And what they offer is a very simple form, so the doctor gives it to 20 patients or something the day and sends it in, and they will create a nice report for it. There is even an example report online. They basically take the normal output that SDAPS generates, add some more statistics data themselves, and that's then it, what they are offering. And they're selling the service there. Another thing is examinations. So both RWTH Aachen, the physics department there, they're looking into using that, and they have, sorry?
Okay, sure.
No worries. All right. That is a good point. That should be it. Okay. Thanks for the... So yeah, examination is a point which is actually quite interesting. I come to back to that a bit later. So they have designed a completely new way of asking the formulating the questions for the examination. This is an example for the tutorials that they were using, but they have used it and for the real examination too. And this is an example from Princeton, where they have tried to get it to work. And you can actually, if you look closely, you can see that STUPS is not really designed to handle these cases. So what they did here is that there's a large box, which is just taken out as an image, and then they have placed something else inside to be able to get the data out from after the scan and then have a look at the image there. But I've think that they have also issues that students write outside the field and stuff like that, which makes it a lot harder to handle the data later on. So yeah, this is different layout issues that they are having. The Jeremy there, he did a pretty good job trying to hack up the class in a way, the Latish class, that he could get the layouts to work like this. I'm working on improving this. This is another example from Nation Builder. This is a sheet that was used during the 2014 elections in the US. And it's for the, well, door to door. You go walk to the from door to door, you ask questions, and then you just check out the answers there. And they sold the servers also to some people, to some organizations. I'm not sure, parties, I think, that walked around there. In theory, voting, I have had someone doing this ballot at some point. I'm not sure if they ever used it. I think that the pirates in Berlin have tried to use STUPS for a relatively complicated voting system because it's a pain to count manually. But I have not, I don't know whether they are actually using it other than trying it out once. Just a month ago, I got the request for someone who wanted to do, autocross. German Autoslalom or something. And there you need to count the cones that are hit by the cars. And for that, you wanted a sheet like this. And they are currently using some Excel and then manual things. So I've actually played around trying to do this. And this is using some new code that is not in production yet. So as you can see, there are a lot of different use cases there with STUPS. And you need to think about how to make it easier to use for the user. You need to think about the different requirements that you have. In some cases, you want, let's say you're doing a survey, you want anonymous versus non-anonymous surveys. You might do a patient survey where a patient gets the same questionnaire every month, and then it's not anonymous, and you also need to know from which month it was later on. There are some technical aspects. You need to think about logistics. If you have only one page of piece of paper like this one, it's very simple. But consider an examination, for example, with a huge amount of papers, like, I don't know, 4 pages, 10 pages, then if you staple it, it's hard to scan in again because you need to cut off the edge or something, which might destroy the edge markers that STUPS is using. There's a lot of things to think about at that point so that everything runs smoothly. And this is most, to a large extent, not even a software issue, but an issue of getting all the integration on thinking about how to do it. For example, another thing is error handling, especially in examinations. You need to make sure that the students, if they mark some piece of paper, that they can correctly correct their results, and then you can go back and you know exactly what happened, and you can correct it manually instead of just running it through the computer, and then you end up with wrong data, and the student will complain that the mark is wrong, or you might not even get complained, and then you're in trouble. So that's not too easy to solve in general. There's some consideration that you should think about before doing an examination or even a survey on paper. But at the same time, it's nice to... paper surveys make a lot of sense in in some contexts. So here is the thing, that some parts of it are solved by S-stops. So what S-stops does is for multi-page handling, we have a barcode in the at the bottom corner, and if you look closely, it says 0002, which is the second page. So on the first page, there's no barcode, but on the second page, there's a barcode saying which page number it is, and there is a large pseudo-random number identifying the survey, which is reproducible. So if you use the same LaTeX input file, compile it again, it will result in the same number. But if you do some minor modifications, you will get a new number because the software the areas moved around. So that means that you are reproducible. We have doing it. Then you get a user-defined barcode. So with the example that, for example, I'm sending a survey out to a patient every month or so, you need to know which month the piece of paper was from. So you can just add this information to there. Or another example might be lectures where you have 10 lectures and you want to know which lecture is, you could print on the piece of paper directly to ensure that even if you mix up the papers in any way you want, you know afterwards which lecture it was from. And for non-anonymous surveys, you want to be able to mark the paper with a custom barcode that identifies the specific user that you handed out to. So that is what S-Tips provides internally. While the center one, it's basically not even used by S-Tips itself because it's not useful for it. It's just there for the user to be used later on. In general, the process is that you have to create the questionnaire. You have to then pass it over to the main program, which extracts all the metadata out of it. Then you are able to create a printable document afterwards. After some processing, then you hand that out. You scan it back in. Then, obviously, you want to hand it over to the main program again to do the optical micro recognition, maybe manual error correction, depending on what you need, what your needs are, and obviously data export afterwards. So these steps are different from ANSI. So we have setup, we have a stamp command, which does the printable document. We have an add command, which simply adds the scan. We have the recognize command, which does the recognition step. User interface, CVS export command, and cutoff, because they changed the aspect ratio of the slides, is the report command, which creates a PDF document. So the setup command just simply compiles the LaTeX document or takes the ODT file, parses it, reads in the PDF file, extracts all the metadata from there, and after it has all the metadata, it can recompile the document with the correct information or overlay the corner marks and stuff. So that is what happens, and after that, So considering the metadata and stuff, what you want is to create a nice looking document, and for that we have the LaTeX class. This is just a simple example. And when you compile the LaTeX class, this is the example document, actually. So what we can see here is that it's a relatively simple document. What we do is we create begin questionnaire, end questionnaire. This is just a wrapper environment to be able to repeat it so that we can generate, 100 unique questionnaires with different barcodes from LaTeX directly. And then it's a simple section, and then single mark is a just mark question with lower bound, upper bound, as you can see here. Then you can add a choice question with different choices, and it's a matrix. It's layouted as a table. The four there means that it has four columns, and then we have two choices and another choice for text input. And text boxes are auto-scaling, so if you look at the page here. This is the bottom of the page, and you can see the end of the text box because it scales over the whole page. And that's it. And what it comes out is, one, the PDF file, which is can be printed, but on the other hand, all the metadata with the exact position on page of all the checkboxes and the questions that you were using so that we can create a report which contains the question text, which contains the information, and also we have the program has all the data required to analyze the paper. So the next step, sometimes depend if you're doing a non-anonymous survey, is that you still don't have a printable document because you still need to add more barcodes which identify the user, which identify the single piece of paper. So you re-render, you pass that over to STUBS, and then you can create, reproduce, use the stamp command to create the actual printable file. After that, all the processing has to be done, obviously. You have the papers, you add, you scan them. The scan is right now, you need to provide a monochrome TIFF file, multi-page TIFF file, or there are some, I've got some work which means that you can import basically any photo. So it actually works. I've tried it, that you use a cell phone camera, just take a snapshot with your cell phone / mobile device and pass it over to the import feature, which converts it internally to the multi-page TIFF, does the 3D transformation and everything. And then you can, could also use that. But if you're scanning and you don't want to use all this overhead, then you need to have a scanner which outputs a TIFF file, monochrome TIFF file. And basically the add command just checks that it's a monochrome TIFF file and that the page count is sane, and then copies the data over into the project. Then the next step is the actual data processing, where you run the recognition and it loads the image, it calculates the correction matrix. So what we do here, it extracts the metadata, the barcodes are read, the rotation is done, and optical mark recognition happens. So if you consider an image, this is a photo now, it's a black and white image otherwise, obviously. But you do what happens is that the corner marks are detected, then you can do the deskewing of the page, because actually it's surprising how bad scanners are and printers. The human eye doesn't see it, but it's not quite accurate. So even over the page, there are you don't not only get rotation, you get and skews and stuff. We also get that the piece of paper didn't quite move in the same speed while scanning or printing. So that means that the checkboxes are actually not quite at the correct position. So what STUBS does is that there is an extra correlation there that analyzes the checkbox area, just looking for the bounding box of the checkbox, or even if it's circular for the circle, and then goes back after that to analyze just the center of the checkboxes. There are a couple of heuristics that I've implemented. It's probably not the best. I'm not a computer science guy. I don't know that much about image data processing. I guess that you could do a lot better. What STUBS does is a simple black level check. So it just counts the number of black pixels in the area, center area. So you can see only the red area is analyzed. The white is just some padding to make sure that we don't see the surrounding box. Then another thing is that what I've implemented is a half transformation, so it tries to detect lines and then removes these lines. And the idea is that if a user fills in the box, it's supposed to be considered not marked again. So if I remove the lines from the scan and pretty much nothing is left, then it's probably not filled out completely, which is... Or let's say the other way around, if a lot is left, quite a lot is left, then it is filled in. And so just a big pen mark. And another thing is that I try to detect continuous white areas to be able to find whether it's filled in just sloppily and you get lots of small white areas. So the coverage is pretty low, but still, it's not really a single mark or something. This kind of works. It's not great, but it works mostly. So, in my experience, it's fine enough for most use cases in examination. You probably want to think about how exactly you're doing, because there you can't really accept much errors. And then we have user interface. It's for manual verification. It's written in GTK. And it simply shows the document, the scan, and you can hit the checkbox to toggle it and to move it around, and that's all there is to it, really. And obviously we have data export to CSV and the report. Well, the thing is with the report, I don't consider SDAPs to be a statistics tool. However, it's nice to have a PDF report for quick surveys where you don't really need to be to do complex statistical stuff. So there is some support for statistics and there is some support for report generation, but I don't see a point in adding much more features to SDAPs with regard to statistics, because if someone is actually doing more complicated stuff, they probably want to export the data anyways and then process it further using R or whatever is their preferred way of doing statistics. But you can, for example, export just a subset of data using filters, or just or so you can do some statistics work, some analysis on the data. So there's a filtering support. It's just a neat feature, but it's also quite hard to explain actually to people. And then we have got some debugging commands, but that's not separate. So I was thinking of, that might be actually quite complicated right now. So if we consider, this is just the example document that I have online for the field. So it's just a large PDF, a static document with lots of questions, and which shows off the different features. You have Mark groups, you have Mark line, which is just a condensed version of Marks. You have choice questions that we already had, that which is the number of choices, and the resulting document. What does it do now? It was correct. Oops. And this is the result. So we can do like questions, range questions like this one. We can batch them up into different, so that they're more condensed, ask multiple questions at the same time. The choice questions are just multiple choice questions with the possibility of having freeform fields, which are on the one hand a checkbox, because if something is written, it's checked. On the other hand, you can get the image data later on if you want to. Then the same thing for choice questions. So this is basically all that SDAP supports, but it is enough for most use cases. So it's fine. Usually. So this would be the... Okay, so this is the example document, and I can now... Do we, what? No, okay, I thought it's just... So what I can now do is that I'm running the SDAPs from the development version now, but that doesn't really make much of a difference. So we create the test directory, this is the project directory where SDAPs keeps all the data in. We run the setup test command, which means that we want to test file as an input command and it will compile them. So what happens now is that SDAPs compiles the document a couple of times, then reads the metadata in. It shows the metadata here, which is what which it found, calculates the IDs, the unique IDs that are required, and then reruns the whole process again so that the printable document is produced in this case. Actually, I'm not quite sure. I think I've modified it in a way that I don't have the printable document now. Let me see. Questionnaire test? PDF? No, it's printable. It's fine. So... what you can see now is that there's no draft. You might have seen before that there was a large draft text on the background so that you wouldn't print it by default. So right now, because it's an anonymous survey, we don't identify the user. There is no barcode here. We could simply print this. I have an example scan here. All right. I need to go back here. Let's go. Example. If you have any questions, feel free to ask at any point. Just if this is an example scan that I have. Okay, right, it's on this screen here. or actually mixed in between both streams. So I'm just going to use that as an example. So here you can see that it doesn't matter if it's on upside down the scan, because SDAPS finds the barcode and just simply rotates the page. Rather simple to fix the issue. So if I hand this over to SDAPS, it will simply... Okay, let's do this. We want the test project, which is there. Then we want the example.tiff file. And I forgot the add command, obviously. That's it. And it's very quick because it simply does only, pretty much only copies the file. And now we do the recognize. This takes a little bit. Now we have the data is analyzed, and we can have a look at it. So, this is it. I can see it, and if I simply, you know, make sure that I can see the whole page, I can quickly check whether everything is correct. Wait. Oh yeah, that's good. Here it detected the area that writing is in, and because the border is bold, thick, it means that there's text there. That's it. And I'm done. You've reached the first page. Okay, I just went backward, but whatever. And so, basically now, all I wanted that is left is a nice looking report, right? That's pretty boring. And, oh, there we go. We got a little bit of statistics here. Pretty simple, but it does the job. The text, the freeform text fields are simply included as images here so that you can read them later on. And that is all there is to it, really. And this actually creates a LaTeX document again in this case. But there are different ways of doing it in SDAPS. So, all right, we could also, let's try that. CSV, export. This is actually pretty ugly right now. I think it's data. CSV, yeah, that's it. So, it's just a large list of ones and zeros, and the ones that, so at the top is the checkbox, it's the question number encoded there. So 1-1 is question 1, checkbox 1 or something. I'm not quite sure. I would have expected it to have more. I know, the first question is a mark question, so it has the integer in there, which of the checkboxes is checked. So 1-1 is the first question in the first section, and its value is 1-3-4, depending on what was checked there. Okay, that's it. Right. Any questions, or I guess probably not. Okay. So, all right. So I was thinking of just a little bit about what they did in Aachen. So in the examinations, you have there are different issues. What they decided on doing is making sure that they don't have to staple the paper or anything by using a A3 folded sheet. So they were limited to 4 A4 pages. They designed the whole thing in a way that this would be possible, and then created some scripts around the whole thing to slice up the images correctly after the scan and combine the 4 pages into a printable document and stuff like that. And then they also thought quite a bit about the error handling and selection for manual inspection. So this is what their first design looked like, which was used for a tutorial. I don't have a design of the later ones. And you can see that basically each question is just the checkboxes. They ask for the formula, they ask for the value that is the result, and then they ask for the, what is it called? unit. So basically, they just thought put quite a lot of thought into how to do the questions, how to change the design of the examination so that it would work properly. And they have used it at the beginning of this year, and it apparently worked fine for them. The first then, but error correction. What they first were trying is that they would go back. They would What they first tried to do is that they that if a student corrected something, they were supposed to raise their hand. Then, if they, someone would go in and would circle the point where where a correction was made here, and do the cross, and then note it down which piece of paper had to do manually checked later on. They changed that around a bit, and then came up with this with a scheme where the students themselves just go ahead and do the correction, but are supposed to note it down. On a, on the first page, just so that you know that there's something weird there, and then you can explicitly go in. You can filter to just have a look at all the ones that where this was filled in the box in the user interface, and then you just simply go through all the pages and look carefully. But you can skip all of the ones that are fine right from the beginning, so you don't even need to look at those, and only look at those if the student thinks that there was a mistake done. And apparently they had two errors with the whole process. Two checkboxes that were not identified correctly overall, where students complained. Right. But then the other thing, which was most apparent with the people, in, with the guy in Princeton, they tried to do very specific layouts. And at some point I decided this is there's no way of going forward with the current Lattice code. So what I'm working on right now, and I've been working on this off and on for quite a while, is a completely rewrite of the Lattice class. And I, because the current code is really designed only for very, very simple surveys and only has pretty few layout options. So you have basically two question types only. I don't care about single choice, multiple choice, which also which already makes a difference in question design because people do expect that a single choice question is a toggle round checkbox, and multiple choice is a square checkbox, and things like that, because that is what people are learning from the computers. So you really want to mirror these kind of things, and it's not designed to do that well. So, and there are some other aspects, like you saw the CSV export. I had the 1.1.1.2, and I didn't know what it was about, right? So what I want is that you can actually change this around later on, and you specify in the Lattice file what it's called in the export so that you can better do that. So the new code, I've been experimenting a lot with Lattice 3, which is really nice. To some extent, probably you, most of you won't care about that because it's all the background machinery where it's only relevant. But I've separated out different support packages. I have a base package which implements a lot of infrastructure. I'm actually afraid that I've over-engineered it a little bit, but so that you can design the questionnaire properly, you can have sections which are designed slightly differently. You could overwrite some options locally. You could also, for examinations, if you want the standard answers, for you might want to check some boxes and then print it out, and you can do things like that. You can overlay data on top of the checkbox. You can create a text box around normal Lattice code. There's a so I've done a lot of work there. So yeah, this what the support package does is that I added a context management thing. So what you could, for example, do here is you create a context, context begin, context end. And then you enable PDF form creation, and you get in this section, in this inside between in between those context commands, you get a PDF forms overlay, form elements overlaid, and you can actually use it correctly in Acrobat Reader to mark things. What would still be needed to be able to post these this data somehow to a server or something, I guess. The variable naming, I've tried to find a scheme where you hierarchically can name variables. So if you have a section, you could give the section a variable name, then append underscore, and then you have the question and so forth. Or you could change the checkbox design a bit. And then you have ways of creating your objects. Q object begin, Q object end, which is the more internal name. And then this is a choice question. This is going to be written into the metadata so that you have the metadata output. And this also means that I separate the metadata output from the actual design, which is a problem when you get really special things like, let's say, graphics as a question. So if you have, I think it was in the examination, they had a plot diagram as the question, basically, and then different answers. And it doesn't make sense. You can't have a diagram in a metadata, in a report. It doesn't make sense to export. So you really want to be able to overwrite the, by default, use the string that the user used, but also have a way of specifying a normal human readable string instead of a graphics, a PDF or whatever. And this is the I've called it overrides, where you can actually like pre-mark checkboxes that have a specific variable name, so that the you could pre-mark them, or you could do standard examination results with a feature like that. This is an example document a test document that I used. So this, you can see the blue ones have PDF form elements, can be changed. Different ways of overlaying data. There's form data here, and this box is simply a rounded box. And all of this basically works. So actually, SDAPs can extract the metadata there, and it can work with the data. Another feature is that was requested from people. I've talked to a number of people, and those were, I think it was Nando. They suggested it. That you, if you create a matrix of questions, you want a more powerful layout options. So what I've tried here, and this is Henry Menker helped me a lot with this, is that you can actually, by simply changing this one flag in the code, change the layout entirely. And by that, you're very flexible with the questionnaire design, because you can focus on what the questionnaire is about and don't have to focus on the layout right away at this point. I still have to do a lot of work with this, because I'm not quite sure. This is a matrix layout, right? The table layout. But I'm thinking of optimizing things a lot so that the tables, if you have two tables above each other, for example, that the columns aren't differently sized. I'm not quite sure what kind of features I want to support there. And it's a lot of work to do, unfortunately. But I think it's worth the effort at this point. Because you want to, I want to have nice looking questionnaires, obviously. That's basically it for now. I'm done. So, if you are interested, there's a homepage, there's a website, there is a mailing list that you can join, or IRC. Talk to me. Yeah, that's basically it. Thank you. Any questions? Maybe. None? Okay.
Are you able to do some complex reports in means of for all the persons answered question 5 by yes, then which of them do cross questions?
Good point. So the question, I'm not sure if I understood it quite correctly. The question is, could you import data, or?
No, it's a complex report. It means of,
okay.
If you have ABC as answer, and with how many of the people answering A
mm-hmm.
Answer a second question with something else.
So the question is whether I could ask SDAPS gives me a way of knowing that how many people answer, if a user answered question A with a certain answer, what else did these people answer there? And this is actually something that is possible with the filters, because you can create a report where only the only the answers are included that are which are so only the sheets are included where the which are the questionnaires are included where the answer was done. So let's say let's try this out actually. It should be simple, right? I hope. What do we want? I want project not installed, and then this direction. Let's do the user interface. So let's say we use question one, and see whether the first checkbox is checked. So we get this report with everything is good there. And okay, I'm just zooming right now. And this one won't be included, and probably the other ones neither. So I could actually use this. I can use the filter in different programs, right? I could use the filter here. So I could say here, 1, 1 equals 1. There you go. We only have 2 pages, and everything else is hidden away. And now if I create a report with that, I get a new file, which is, it's just number 3 here by default, which just includes 1 questionnaire. And that's it. It's a very, very simple way. If you want anything more advanced, you'll need to do the statistics yourself, import it somehow. But yeah, it works.
Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. Good. Thank you.